So I will talk about the IMPACT Project, which is the Trade, Health, and Environment IMPACT Project. It's a community academic collaborative. I will also be talking about the health impacts of international trade. So I have kind of a big job here to try to get through in 12 minutes. Dora the Explorer, sometimes I bring Dora with me as an example of a product that comes to us from another country and where it travels, how she travels on her route. So Dora is made in China. She's trucked to the port in China where she's shipped to the United States. The ship is unloaded at either the port of LA or Long Beach. Dora in her container is put onto a truck where she's driven to a rail yard, where she's loaded onto a train, where with a train that travels to Chicago, trucked to a warehouse, and trucked to a retail store and to a very happy four-year-old girl somewhere east of Chicago. And all of that, total miles traveled on Dora's part is 8,000, burning diesel fuel or worse fuel, bunker fuel, in the ships the whole way. Her retail cost, under $10. There's no accounting for the impacts that such transportation of global goods has on the local communities that Dora has passed through along her way. And that's part of what we're talking about here today. Just to show you from LA, some of the places that Dora passes through, comes into the port, goes up the 710 freeway, which looks like this, the largest, you know, biggest truck-congested freeway in the country. Something like 15% of every product that enters the United States travels on that highway. Through a rail yard to get onto a train to Chicago. Sometimes Dora might end up in a warehouse out in Riverside, where Penny Newman's group is from, 50 miles away from the ports. So these are the kinds of issues that children and residents in port communities, rail communities, warehouse communities are facing every day as a result of international trade. That these are children playing next to the TRAPAC terminal at the Port of Los Angeles, playing soccer. Why is our panel focused on Southern California? Well, it's the epicenter for imports from Asia. We have the largest ports in the country where more than 40% of all the country's goods come in through our ports of LA and Long Beach and then fan out by truck if it's within 500 miles, usually by train if it's more than that. Some of the health impacts. Well, we're talking about diesel exhaust exposure. Diesel particulate in California was named a toxic air contaminant in 1998, but it's regulated that way in California, but it doesn't have as strict regulations in the rest of the country. It was regulated based on more than 30 studies showing lung cancer in exposed workers, and those workers were workers who were in this global trade goods movement industry, truck drivers, dock workers, railroad workers. Diesel exhaust consists primarily of fine and ultrafine particles, and these are the particles that can really get into your lungs and can get into the rest of your system. And there are findings that these ultrafine particles and fine particles are very toxic, and that exposure to PM2.5, which includes diesel particulate, is related to cardiovascular disease. And now, since diesel was named a toxic air contaminant in 1998, there's been lots more information about diesel, more studies that show that it's been linked to lung cancer in railroad workers, for example. Our university has an NIEHS center with a lot of scientists who do research on air pollution, and they have learned with very relevant findings for this particular goods movement field that growing up in communities with high air pollution reduces children's lung function. Growing up near traffic-related pollution at home or at school results in more asthma and lower lung function in children, and that if you live in a community with high air pollution and near traffic-related pollution, it magnifies the effect. So when you have children growing up or adults growing up or living near busy roads and highways, it's also linked to premature births and small birth weight babies, linked to increase in postmenopausal breast cancer, a new study from Montreal last week, linked to increase in new cases of diabetes, a new study from Germany just last week. We're particularly concerned about rail yard pollution. 18 rail yards exist in California. A study was done by the California Air Resources Board, and they found that the highest levels of emissions and the highest diesel cancer risks were found at rail yards in Southern California, San Bernardino, City of Commerce, Wilmington, West Long Beach. And that's not surprising because if we're bringing in the most imports in containers, we have the most product to have to move around Southern California to the rest of the country. We also know from health risk assessments from the California Air Resources Board that there's a higher cancer risk in communities that live around ports. And then we have more evidence that proximity matters. If you our scientists who are at USC and UCLA have done studies along that truck-congested 710 freeway and find that the there are higher levels of ultrafine particles and higher levels of elemental carbon as a marker for diesel exhaust really close to that freeway. So we know that proximity really matters. In terms of environmental justice impacts, US EPA commissioned a goods movement report for NEJAC, the National Environmental Justice Advisory Council. And if you look at the second bullet, minority and low-income communities near transportation hubs bear disproportionate impacts because of their close proximity to multiple diesel pollution sources. And I have the link for the NEJAC report if you're interested. So, our center at USC has an NIEHS grant, and part of it is an outreach program that I direct at USC, which tries to reach out to the community, share our scientific information with the research findings with the community. Here's one of our scientists at a conference, and also listen to community concerns so that we can together try to address some of these issues that we've been talking about. In 2001, we had a conference, and our community members, some of whom are sitting here in the room, kept talking about increase in ship traffic at the ports, increased truck traffic and bad air, rail traffic and idling, and increase in the acres of distribution centers with truck traffic and idling and fears about health outcomes. So that conference in 2001, we started working together, and several years later, we formed a community academic partnership in 2005 that we called the Impact Project for Trade, Health, and Environment Impact Project. Here are the partners of the Impact Project. Several of them are here today. Penny Newman from CCAEJ in Riverside, Angelo from the second group down east, third group down east, Yard Communities. There's another group in Wilmington, Coalition for a Safe Environment. Wilmington is at the port. The Long Beach Alliance for Children with Asthma is at that port. And then we have Occidental College, which works on policy issues, and USC-UCLA Center, which works on science. And the goal of our collaborative is to address health impacts and inform policy solutions. So we're looking at issues like bad land use decisions, previous decisions. Here we have a school sited right next to a freeway. After the school was sited, a rail yard was sited near the school. This is a freeway that takes the trucks from the ports to the rail yards right past the school. In that previous picture that you saw, there are people from the Long Beach Alliance and Neighborhood Assessment Team counting traffic, 500 trucks an hour going past that school. An example of a current land use decision that's under consideration, that's another very difficult problem that we're facing. The two ports in Los Angeles have proposed siting a new rail yard right next to the two schools that you see and that neighborhood that you see. And there also is another rail yard that is being proposed. So we have all this new infrastructure, expansion of freeways, and rail yards that we're dealing with. From our perspective at the university, we are trying to respond to some of this in terms of sponsoring conferences and sharing information, but also looking at the community concerns and how that impacts our research agenda. So here are two examples of research studies. The Harbor Communities Monitoring Project, which is a study that USC is doing of children who live near the port, and also a scientific study of exposure and toxicity near rail yards. And that study is being done with several of the community groups. From my viewpoint, one of the values of having a community outreach program at a university, which is the role that I play, is that an outreach person can help to be a link between the scientists who are really doing their academic research and the community in terms of sharing information and linking some of those scientists so that they can come out to speak at hearings, for example, or at meetings. But also being able to link to community concerns so that with those town meetings and conferences that we help to sponsor, we can ensure that our scientists get to hear what the community concerns are. And that's the end of my presentation. I would like to thank the NIEHS and a variety of foundations who are funding this work, including the California Endowment, the many thanks to the Kresge Foundation for helping us put together this panel, several NIEHS center grants and supplemental grants that have allowed some of us to travel to other communities around the country and talk about what we've learned so far in LA, with it being the epicenter and this big import center, and what we've learned in terms of trying to change the attitude and the progress that we're making at the ports so that we can have a safer environment for our children and residents. Thank you.